Come on, Tim, say, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, army of the Lord, raise it.
There is power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power.
Yeah.
In the name
of Jesus. Just to break every chain.
Every chain.
Yes, it will.
Break every chain.
Yes, it will.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can you hear those chains falling? Chains of limitation, chains of bondage been shattered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that your hand is upon your people. And Lord, oh God, the chains of limitation, the chains of bondage are being broken. They are destroyed, and your people are breaking out by the authority of your word. They come in, O God, into a new season. O Father, O God, in which your hand, O God, empowers them to live fulfilled lives, to live lives, O God, in victory, because your power is present to heal, to deliver, to set free, to make whole. We give you praise, O God, for the things that you've done. And we give you praise for the things that you are now doing. And we give you praise for the things that will be done. Not will be done because they've not been done yet, but Lord, oh God, will be done because we are going to step into that which you have already finished. For you have finished it all. You've done it all. You've accomplished it all. And Father, we give you praise, O God, that your hand is upon our lives for good. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you that have logged in this evening or maybe listening through YouTube or whichever medium or platform that you may be listening to this broadcast today. I thank God for every one of you because I know God has done already something tremendous, something extraordinary, something beyond description in your life. And he's done it because he loves you with an everlasting love. He's done it because he will not do less than he has already done. Hallelujah. God has great things on his mind for you and I today. We've been talking about the establishment of the covenant of God. When I consider that statement, the establishment of the covenant, I see it in this particular perspective, that God is saying to us that that which he has promised, we shall see made manifest. That which is hidden from view shall be unveiled, and we shall behold him. We shall behold him. We shall behold him, because ultimately he is that covenant, and we will be changed into that same image. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in addressing that particular subject of the establishment of God's covenant, we started out this morning talking about the names of God. The names of God. And in addressing that particular subject of the names of God, we became very aware of the fact that when we're talking about the names of God, that that name or the names of God, while they totally belong to God, that he is putting that name on us. So that whatever God is, we begin to experience and live out in this plane. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14, the word of God says, if my people which are called by my name, my people which are called by my name. In essence, God is saying that whatever his name is, we will be called that. That when we talk about God being our shalom, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, that your presence in a chaotic situation will bring about peace, that you are not a troublemaker, you are a peacemaker. That when the Word of God talks about Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, that when you show up, provision comes in. Oh my God, my God, my God. I don't know if you're hearing this yet. That whatever God is passing out to us because we become the manifestations of God in the earth. There's a song I used to sing many years ago. I don't remember who it is that wrote it. But it went something like, "You're the only Jesus some will ever see." That's one of the lines in that particular song. And God is saying, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, shall humble themselves. Now, let me bring us to some understanding about what this is. When God says, shall humble themselves, it does not mean shall humiliate themselves. May I put it this way to us? Shall humble themselves means to recognize what God says about us and coming into agreement with God. A humble man believes what God says and agrees with what God says. A man who is proud and arrogant thinks he has to make it happen and does not receive what God says as a final statement, that when God says, be ye holy, just like he said, let there be light, that when he said, be ye holy, that I receive that holiness of God and say, I am holy because God said, be holy. I am not trying to become holy. I am what God says I am. And did you notice that Word of God says, be holy as I am holy? And that the call to holiness is not based on what society says is holy. The standard of measurement is not what we all agree on. It is what God says and who God is. It says when we humble ourselves and then pray, when we agree with what God says, and what God says is that he's our righteousness, and I'm going to go into all of that in just a moment, then we know that we have access through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then from that particular foundation of knowing that we have access with God, we can now pray, we can now intercede. He says, when we seek his face, when we go to him, not seeking solutions from all over the world, seeking solutions from that businessman or that businesswoman, that doctor, that physician, that surgeon, that whatever, that politician, that senator or congressperson or parliamentarian. He says when we seek his face and then turn from our wicked ways. What is this wicked way? The wicked way is a twisted life, like a wicker. That is a life of disobedience. In other words, when you seek the face of God and you hear from God, do what God says. When we do not do what God's word says, we live in the world then where the Word of God says, it is the way of the wicked that is hard. Jesus, our Lord, says, take my yoke, take my burden, it's light, it's easy. But the wicked's way is hard. God has not called you and I to a hard life. God has called us to a life of ease in him. He says, then will I hear from heaven. when you turn from your wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our sins are forgiven because we humble ourselves before God. Humble ourselves before God in recognizing that He has paid the price already. When you do not recognize that He's paid the price already, then you will live in a world of works. If I do this, I do that, I do this, I do this, I do that, and so on and so forth, then I will be perfect, then I will be holy, then I will be whatever it is that qualifies me to be worthy of the love of God. No, that's not how it works. You receive what God has done, and you live out the reality of it, not because you're working at it, but because you're easing down the road. There was a time that some of us lived in the world of alcoholism or drug addiction. And then we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that stronghold was destroyed. Not because we had willpower, but rather because something happened inside of us that caused us to walk victoriously, and now it's no longer a temptation. It's only a temptation when it still has a stronghold inside of you. But when you humble yourself in the sight of God and say, God, I place myself in your hands and I receive your ability. For without you, I can do nothing. You humbling yourself. Humility is in agreeing with what God says about you. Pride is to go against what God's word says about you. And when you do so, you will never have your sins forgiven and of no healing in your land. In other words, the land that you are tilling will not produce its results. It will not yield its increase. God is calling us to recognize who He is in our lives. Again, when we're talking about the names of God, we're talking about Him, but in recognizing who He is, I want you to go the next step, and that next step is recognizing that whatever God is saying about Himself, He's saying about us. For when we shall see Him, we shall see that we are like Him. Praise the Lord. Do you know the Word of God says in Philippians 4 and verse 13? Philippians 4 and verse 13. It says to us that we can do certain things. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, strengtheneth us. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing, which strengtheneth me. Remember this morning, I shared with you about the glove. The glove was useless without the hand that was in it. As soon as my hand went into that glove came alive. As soon as I took off my jacket, it was lifeless. But as soon as I put on that jacket, it was animated. I took off my shoes and I said to my shoes, shoes walk. But my shoes couldn't walk until my feet went into it. The same thing is true about every other thing in your life. It is by the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ that you live and move and have your being. God comes inside of you and He empowers you. And so we caption these words, Lord, wear me so that I may be empowered. Just like my shoes, when I wore the shoes came alive, they got empowered, and they did what they were supposed to do. So also shall God come inside of you today and empower you to be everything you're called to be. And we also said, Lord, I put you on. I wear the Lord so that I am protected. Because now I am hidden in Christ, hidden in God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, the one that was crucified died with Christ. It says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ that liveth in me. In other words, I'm not the one living. It is Christ that is living in me. The anointed one and his anointing that's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. The life I'm now living in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Even the faith that I have is not mine. It is his faith. So I need not muster some positive things to activate my faith. I have his faith, and his faith is an unfailing faith. His faith is that which brings to life that which is not visible. I have the faith of the Son of God, the God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that incredible? Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God talks about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God gives you an evidence of that which you cannot see. And child of God, it's been my experience that many times what I don't see, God gives me markers that show to me that something is happening and I'm heading in the right direction. I have not seen it, but I know that I'm heading the right direction. You know, when the border was open, the times I and Mama and some friends, brothers, went to a place just like Minneapolis. As we heading towards Minneapolis, there were markers on the highway that told us that we're heading in the right direction. Those were evidence. We've not seen Minneapolis yet, but there were evidence showing that we're heading in the right direction. Do you know that while you are living your life, God is giving you different evidence, proof, markers that you're heading in the right direction? Maybe it's based on something he's done in somebody else's life, something you read in a book, in the Bible, or something that you've experienced before, showing to you that you're heading in the right direction. So, Pastor, why are you talking about all of this? I thought we were talking about the names of God. Yes, we're talking about that. First evidence, child of God, that something's already happened in your life is that at one point in your life, all you could do was live in the world of having an elbow problem, drinking. And now if you try to touch it, something happens inside there that says, don't do that. Evidence is, once upon a time, you just lied and cursed like a sailor. And now, just before you, something says, that's an evidence. You may not have arrived there yet, but you're on the way. And I want to say to you today, don't give up because you have not experienced everything God says yet. There are signs on the highway that are telling you that something is already changing inside of you. Receive that and thank God for that. For he is your righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 through 8. I'm going to be looking at two items today as the names of God, Jehovah Makedesh and Jehovah Sitkino. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, the word of God says, Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Now, why does God say that? Let's go to verse 5 and let us read. The Bible says, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Now, what is Molech? Molech was the god that was served by the sacrifice of children. Very similar to what we do today with abortions. And God says, my face is going to be set against a people that go into this whoredom with Molech. I'm going to be against them. And then it goes on in verse 6 and says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. Oh, wow. Souls that have familiar spirits. Such as have familiar spirits. What is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is spirit that is familiar to you. A familiar spirit is spirit that's hung around your family line and causes you to walk in a pathway of iniquity. And after wizards, this is about occultism, about devilish activities. It says, my soul and the soul that turn, God says, I'm going to be against people whose souls are connected to familiar spirits and go after wizards to go a whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. And then verse 7 says, sanctify yourselves therefore. Wait a minute. What's the connection? And the connection is this. God is saying, listen, you are going to do all of those wrong things if you don't get separated. As long as you are with the masses, with the group, following their political correct ideologies and whatever else, you are going to mess up. He says, I want you to sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. In other words, I want you to separate yourself. The word is the word kadash. Sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from those things that will cause the anger of God to be released into a life. To separate yourself from that. And it goes on. He says, because I am a holy God. For I am holy. And ye shall keep my statutes. When you get to keep the statutes of God, when you separate yourself, and you'll be able to do what the word of God says you shall do. And watch this. I am the Lord which sanctify you. In other words, if you let me, I'm the one who's going to separate you. Has God been trying to separate you from the wrong crowd and you are doing everything to belong to it? Well, sooner or later, you're going to mess up and you will not show for the glory of God. The way you show for the glory of God is to be separate. Allow God to separate. You are different. You don't have to be like every other person out there. You're different. Well, I want to be part of the group. Well, maybe you want to be part of the group that's going to go into destruction. Or you can be different, and they will look at you and see the light of God in your life and see the glory of God in your life and desire to have what you've got. You don't separate yourself and you join with them. Before you know it, you are drinking with them. You are committing adultery with them. You are fornicating with them. You are doing drugs with them. You are dancing all kinds of dances with them and living an immoral life. You got to be different. You cannot be a Christian and be like the world. God says, I am the Lord which sanctify you. I am the Lord. Jehovah Makedesh. That's his name. And when you let him separate you, holiness becomes the reality of your life. You start to live holy. Now, what does that mean? Sanctification. If God is a God who sanctifies me, Jehovah Makedesh, then my role then is that I come in into the group and I pull one person, one after the other. I pull them out because they cannot come out in their own strength or in their own ability, but I pick out somebody that I minister the word of God to and bring them from the place of death to the place of life. Just like God came into the world and gave himself so that I can be saved, I give myself so that somebody else can be saved. He is Jehovah Makedesh. You know, what do people say? Well, everybody's doing it. That's why I'm doing it. Everybody's doing it. That's why I want to do it. Well, if you're not doing it right now, everybody isn't doing it. Everybody cheats. Everybody lies. Everybody does this and does that. Is that the truth? That's a lie. And that's not God. God calls you out of that and says, I am Jehovah Makedesh, and I bring my grace into your life to separate you. I want to live my life in you and through you. If somebody were to tell me some 45 years ago that it was possible to live a different life, I'll tell them to get out of here. I like my sin. Until God stepped in and flipped it. And that which I desired to do, I did not pursue after anymore, because the Spirit of God came in and began to do that work. You know, you say, but Pastor, doesn't Paul talk about the things I want to do, I cannot do? Yeah, read it. In Romans chapter 7, all you're going to find out in Romans chapter 7 is Paul kept on saying, I. Read it. But go to chapter 8 and you see the Spirit. It is by the Spirit of God that he became. When he cried out, who shall deliver me from this disaster, from this destruction, from this filthiness? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. By the Spirit of God, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. You are separated. If you log yourself into the systems of this world, you have no capacity to live an upright life. You will live defeated. And God says, I'm going to be the one who sanctifies you. I'm going to separate you, and that way you will not involve yourself in occultism, you will not involve yourself with witchcraft, you will not involve yourself with abortions, you will not involve yourself. You see, all of this nonsense happens because we are so world-minded rather than God-minded. Well, you know, I had to have an abortion because of financial situations. Well, you did not trust God to meet your needs. Now, I am not simplifying that situation because there are all kinds of reasons why people have abortions and give their children to Molech. But God is saying, if you connect with me, I have a way to get you out of that mess. I am still God who can heal. I am still God who can deliver. I am still God who can set free. If you humble yourself before me, I will lift you up. Because God is a God that elevates, as we talked about this morning. God elevates us to a place of safety. He becomes our Migdal, our tower. The name, God's name is that name that we run into and we find safety. Hallelujah. Jehovah Kadesh. God who consecrates me, God who prepares me, God who dedicates me, God who separates me, because his name is Jehovah Makedash. In Jeremiah chapter 23, I'm going to start reading from verse 5. Starts out this way, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. I want you to notice that. I'm going to raise a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Do you know the word of God says that we are a kingdom of kings and priests? Well, it says, I'm going to raise a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The next verse goes on. It says, in his days, Judah shall be saved. Judah represents praise. It says, Judah shall be praised. Shall be saved, and then the word of God goes on, and Israel shall dwell in safety. Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. Oh my, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Judah shall be saved. In other words, Judah shall come to a place of openness, a place that is void of fear, a place of peace, a place where God succors them and keeps them, a place of deliverance and preservation. I thank God for all of those words. Because that's all the words that word, Yashar, saved, have to connect with. The place of rescue. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. The name that this one that is God, that is now translated to being king, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. But child of God, I want you to see something. That this righteousness is connected to being living the life of a king and reigning. God is calling you and I to a place where we reign as kings in the earth. Wow. Oh, let's go a little bit further. He says, because he is the Lord, our righteousness is therefore, behold, the days come. Watch this now. Behold, the days come. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought us up, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt or out of the house of bondage. The day comes when you believe that Jehovah is your righteousness. That day comes when you don't have to go back and say, oh, praise God, he delivered me from that. From the systems of the world, from the house of bondage. He says, no, you're not going to have to say that anymore. But you're going to say something different. He says, but the Lord liveth. Aren't you glad that he lives? The Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. And from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. In other words, you are not any longer going to be exiled from that which I have for you. Jehovah, our righteousness, is bringing about restoration. Restoration in every area of your life. Restoration in every area of my life. Restoration is the language of Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah my righteousness. Is there an area of your life today that you may look at and say, you know what? I know that belongs to me, but I'm not connecting with it. You see, when they were in Egypt, they did not know the promised land. No. Well, how is it that you're already in the promised land and then you get kicked out of the promised land? How is it that you're already in the place that God made a covenant for you to step into and abide in forever and you get kicked out? When you seek other gods, when you worship other gods, when you marry yourself to other things, and you think about other people, and you think they are better than you, just like the Israelites did. They wanted a king. But God already prophesied there is a king in the midst of them. The scepter is in the midst of them. But they did not see that God had a greater plan and a greater purpose for them. They sought another solution, and the solution they sought was to be like the other nations.
And believers today, we're always trying to be like everybody else so that we can fit in. And in the process of trying to fit in with the world, we have kicked God out. Because we want numbers. And thank God for numbers. But the word of God is still true. There's a wide road, and many find that wide road. And there's a narrow path, and few that find it. One road leads to destruction, and one road leads to life. We can do the best that we can to get as many people into this pathway, because we are celebrating the goodness of God. We are giving God thanks that causes those that are in that wide road to say, what are they doing over there? What is going on over there? I want to find out what's going on over there. And when they come in, they see the exuberance of joy that is happening in the lives of the saints of God, because testimony after testimony after testimony is about the breakthroughs and the glorious things that God is doing in our lives. But no, we want to be part of Wall Street and Broadway. I wonder what's happening today. If our churches have been built up on the foundation of lights, camera, action, and flashy lights, and fog machines, and a big band, and whatever else that is playing based on skills and talents, not based on the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we build everything around that system. I wonder what we're doing now. Because it's all about the Word of God and connecting with the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to so change us. We are not to be like the world. We are not of this world. But when we elect to act and follow the ways of this world, we bring our lives into a state of total disaster. And God is saying, there's a king in you. Don't get kicked out. I want you to possess your possessions. For there is deliverance on this mount of God. The book of Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 7, says to us, verse 17 rather, Obadiah 1 and verse 17. He says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness on Mount Zion. There will be deliverance and there will be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob, I want you to notice, it didn't say the house of Israel. It says the house of Jacob. In other words, God is saying, you that weren't qualified, still messy, still tricky, still confused about who you really are, I'm going to connect with you, and I'm going to bring you to your possessions. Because on Mount Zion, there is deliverance. There's a deliverance from our sinful ways. I remember many years ago, I had a guest speaker come and was ministering, and he happened to be in his hotel room suite and was watching television, and our broadcast came on. And I'm speaking right now, addressing the issue of sinful living. And he came to me and he said, Hey, brother, you still preaching about sin? I said, what kind of a question is that? I know he was just teasing because he believes the same way that I believe. But you know what? We don't believe in sin anymore. But God does. God believes that there's something called sin. Oh, well, it's not a sin. It's a mistake. It's a disease. You know, a disease. There are all kinds of diseases now. Everybody can claim any kind of disease. You know the amazing thing about it? Our governmental system, political system, help people to stay connected to their disease. All over the world, while God is warning against sorcery, our governments are passing laws to legalize drug addiction. Wow. They're legalizing every crazy thing out there. Child of God, please, 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 I plead with you. Disassociate yourself from connecting with the systems of this world. Because if you don't, it will take you over. You cannot change the world. And by the way, you cannot legalize or legislate morality. No. But what we can do is to point people to the life that God has given to us. If he says he's Jehovah Makedesh, and he's Jehovah Sitkinu, the God who sanctifies and the God who makes me righteous, that name is upon me. And as I agree with that name, I become a conduit through which God sanctifies and separates people from their wicked ways. And they turn from their wicked ways, and they seek after God, and they desire the things of God. God generates something new inside of them. He takes out of them the heart of stone and gives to them the heart that responds to him. But they are not going to know God if I join the gang and be like them. God calls you and I to be light. He didn't say join the darkness. But there are too many believers that think that joining the darkness is what is going to save people. No. You join the darkness, pretty soon you're going to be doing things in the dark just like everybody who is in the dark. God says, be light. But they're going to hate me for it. He says, sure, they're going to hate you for it. But be what I say you are. You are the light of this world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he says about you and I, that you and I are the light of this world. And as light, we shine, and the darkness cannot comprehend us, cannot envelop us. But you've got to not hide your light under a bushel. You got to set it up on high. Holy roller? Yes. Bible thumper? Yes. Whatever names they want to call you, okay. But one thing you know, you're not going to hell. We don't even preach about hell anymore anyway. Well, why is that? Oh, how can a good God send people to hell? God is not sending any good person to hell. Or even any bad person to hell. You decide to join yourself with the devil and you end up where the devil is. Or you choose to follow God and you get blessed. because you're separated. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his eternal soul? Take the name of God. If my people who are called by my name, Jehovah Sitkinu, Jehovah Mekadesh, if you do that, you and your land, you and your family, you and your finances, you and your body, everything that concerns you will receive the healing grace of God. I thank God once again for the privilege to share this word with you tonight. It is not politically correct or religiously correct, but I'm not here to tickle your ears. No. Forget that. You should know that by now, that I'm here to preach the word of God and let us know what God thinks, because only what God thinks counts. Only what God thinks matters. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your sons and your daughters. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has spent time listening to what you've given me to share with them today. And I thank you, Lord, for lives that have been transformed even now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've heard these words, and tonight you say, you know what, or whatever it is that you're listening, you know what, I need to turn my life over to God. I want to give my life over to God. I want to surrender my life to God. If that's what you want to do right now, I want to lead you in a very specific prayer. I believe that when you pray this prayer, that God is going to do his part. Because in praying this prayer, you will be doing your part. Just repeat after me these words. Lord Jesus, I call you Lord because you are Lord. I call upon you to be my Savior. I ask, O God, that you save my soul and that you place your name on my life, that you separate me from my evil and wicked ways and grant me the grace to have access into your presence. You are my righteousness, the one who gives me a right standing. I declare this day, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, you just started a journey right now. It's a journey of a new life. The Bible says we become new creations. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I pray that you continue to log in and fellowship with us online until the doors are wide open again and we can congregate right here in this house, right here at Glory and Peace Church, 1296 Main Street, if you're in the Winnipeg area, metropolis. But if you're not, I want you to find a church where the truth is being preached and connect yourself with that particular group of saints. God's word wants us to fellowship together. It's a good thing to do so. And at this point, I want us to also begin now to honor God with our giving. The information on how you can give is on your screen right now. You can do an e-transfer to donation at Glory and Peace Church. Or if you're on our website, you can just push on that website donate button, or even on the app, the donate button, and use that donate button to release your offering. Some of you may want to send it by physical snail mail. Whichever way you want to do it, The address is available to you, or you can come physically to the church and put it in the mail chute that's on the south side of our building on the Church Street side, just next to the door, regular door closest to the Main Street junction. There is a chute there that you can release your offering at. But whatever it is you do, do this. Honor God with your giving. Don't just sit down there and hear the word of God and not respond back to God with your giving. God will honor you for doing so. And he'll bless you exceedingly, far beyond anything that you thought possible. Not only will he bless you, he will bless you, and he will bless your children, and he will bless your children's children for generations. So let God be God in your life. After all, one of his name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees, the God who sees to it that whatever needs to be done is done and makes provision for you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. This Wednesday, we will be back together for our Bible study. And on Friday will be a prayer meeting. And finally, I want to say, on January the 1st through the 21st, we are going to go on a 21-day time of fasting and prayer. And we want you to join us in that Daniel fast. You will not be doing it for naught. God is going to do something extraordinary in you, with you, for you, and by you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. I love you, and I thank God once again for the privilege of serving you through the ministry of the Word of the Living God. Love you. Good night.
It's a privilege to worship you, maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands, a holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship.
You stay.